today. It's we're recording on Saturday night, and my family did our family Christmas today. And this is pretty funny, man. I found out my nephew, Asen, he's fifth grader, so he's 10, 11 years old. I can't remember how old he is. Yeah. I found out that he's been listening to the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he told his mom and dad that he learned about the different movie or whatever from his Uncle Mark. And I was like, wow, I was pretty impressed. And I'm like, just don't repeat any language he said on there.
Yeah.
And you heard on there. And of course, my sister-in-law was like, oh, yeah, he used the F word. I'm like, hey, that's not my fault. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe I've dropped a few of them on the show here and there, but I mean, you know, I didn't know. But Asen, if you're listening, thank you for listening to the show. Yes,
thank you for being a fan.
I love you, little man. And that's pretty awesome. Actually, it actually made me smile. It kind of made my day. I was like, that's pretty cool that my nephew has been listening to the show. And it's just hilarious that he found it and was listening to it. And it's pretty awesome. And hopefully you learn something out of it. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And I told him I would give him a shout out on the new episode. So hopefully he's smiling right now as he hears it.
There you go, man.
But that's pretty cool, man. My own kids could care less about this damn show. Well, Michael does a little bit. Like, he's been bugging me about coming on another episode one day. But that's pretty cool that my nephew was listening to the show.
There you go, man. There's faith in humanity again.
That's right.
Our young generations.
And so that was pretty cool. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And we are, a week out from Christmas and a week out from what will be our final episode of the year next week, as we'll do our big year ending episode. But a lot to get to today. I'm going to save some of this for the news later, but I'm pretty pissed off at DC right now and Warner Brothers and what they're doing over there with hiring James Gunn. And nothing against James Gunn, man. I enjoy the Guardians of the Galaxy films. Yeah, Suicide Squad was okay, but I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I'm not thrilled that they did that shit to my man Henry Cavill. I mean, to say, make him announce that you're going to be Superman, then a couple months later, oh, guess what? You're not Superman. And we're going to deep dive into that later because I have some things to say about this. Being a big DC fan that I am, not happy. That's all I'm going to say. And it really does.
We got that teaser, man.
Yeah. And it's like, what's the point in the three movies that are coming out in 2023? Well, I mean, Shazam, Aquaman, and The Flash, like, if they don't mean anything towards the future of the DC universe. But
is it a cash grab? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, like I said, we'll dive into it in a little bit here when we do the news. But before then, how are you, man?
Good. I mean, it's just, you know, the year is just kind of just plowing along now. I feel like, you know, not too long ago, we were said 2 weeks, you know, and it'll be Christmas. Now it's a week.
Yeah. The choo-choo train is going.
Blink again. Christmas will be here.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's crazy, man. I was thinking about that this week, man. I'll have a 14-year-old a week from now, you know, and his birthday is Christmas Eve. And I'm just like, wow, man, he's 14. He's 6 months, 8 months away from high school, you know. Wow. In August, he'll be in high school. And I'm like, holy shit, man. It just kind of sometimes it's not that you're upset it's happening because you want to see your kids get older and succeed. And, but it just puts your mortality, your life and things into perspective when you have those little moments like that. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You're just like, man, you know, it's like you said, you blink and it's here, you know, and I blink and I'm like, holy crap, 8 months till a high schooler. And, it's crazy, man. And because you know you've been there since the beginning when he was born. You know him. You've got to watch him grow up, and it's like, wow, you know,
it's crazy, man. You remember? You think back? It doesn't seem like it was too long ago.
Yeah,
and it really wasn't. You know, it's just everything. Everything just moves along, whether we stand still or not.
And I'm not one of those parents that go, oh, I can't believe they're that old. I mean, I get, I do understand they get older. It's more just like I just said, it just more puts it into perspective, makes you look back and appreciate. I think that's a good word to use, that you appreciate how far that you've come as a parent and they have as a kid. And you know, and I think that's what it is. It's just more of a reflection of things as they get older. And, you know, so yeah. And, you know, he adores you, you know that.
I mean, oh yeah. Yeah.
And he always has. And, so that's good, man. You've been a good role model to him too, as he gets older. And
I try, man.
As an adult and as a big kid that you are.
I know. I gotta play both, man. I gotta find that mix between the two.
Yeah, since you were here last week, I have probably picked up about 8 or 9 darts, Matt.
Yeah. So,
in the house.
I didn't start at nerf 4.
That's okay. Nerf
or not.
And I have one more quick shout out too, and she might be surprised. A friend of mine that I play Star Wars Galaxies with, her name is Tracy, and she's going through some tough times right now. And I just want to tell her I'm thinking about her and praying for her family and things. So a little shout out to her, because I know she listens to the show. And I probably just made her cry a little bit, but when she hears this. But you know what? Hopefully they're good tears, because I do mean it and hope things are going well for her as the holidays come. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so let's get into today's show officially. Download this, man, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. I know I've gone first the last couple weeks, so I'll let you go first this week, man, because I know you saw the big movie that hit theaters this weekend. I will see it, but I'm on vacation after Christmas. I think I'm going to wait and go that week. I'm off, get up early, go to like a 10 a.m. showing. It's a 3-hour and 15-minute movie. So that's like a 4-hour block of your fucking day you got to plan, right? So, you know, I think I'm going to go that week. I'm off and see it. And
yeah, man, you know, you definitely want to try and use the restroom around the credits. I did have to use it one other time. I really needed to go twice, but the second time I had to go, it was like 10 minutes left to go in the film. And
I've heard the climax is like an hour long.
Oh yeah. It's a big climax. It's like, you can definitely tell that these are long quarters. You know, the quarters that this film is divided into they're pretty long and pretty, you know, adventure film. It's very much an adventure film.
I don't even think you said, we are talking Avatar the Way of Water.
Avatar the Way of Water. Yes. I saw it in 3D with the D-Box seats at Cinemark. And you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the 4DX seats that I used when I went to go see the Halloween Ends, but I felt like in an adventure film where there's like a lot of flight and stuff like that, that it could be a cool experience. And I said, you know, Avatar 2 seems like one of those movies where having those interactive seats, you know, would be fun. And they were fun. I had 2 credits, so I ended up, you know, using some of my rewards points to get a few dollars off. And
what about the 3D? Is it worth it?
Oh yes. In this film, you know, normally, it's like hard to follow. Sometimes the action scenes are too quick in some of these films, or sometimes it's just not worth it to get 3D.
Because I was thinking the same thing. I have like 4 or 5 credits, so it's going to cost me nothing to take the kids to see it. So I was thinking to pay just a little upgrade and see it in 3D. Because I can't even tell you the last time I saw a movie in 3D. It's been some years.
Yeah.
And because most of them weren't worth it. You know, but I remember the original Avatar was certainly worth it. And I know Cameron takes his time with that stuff. So I was wondering if it's worth it this time.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. I felt like, man, it's a James Cameron film. I was like, the original, you know, the first film was filmed in 3D. I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to watch it in 3D. And you know what? Let's throw on the extra effects, you know? And that's what I did. And man, I enjoyed it. And you know, I had Jackie go see it too the day after I saw it. We both saw it so we could enjoy it ourselves. And you know, I watched the kids one day, she watched the kids the next. She agreed on the 3D effect, very much worth it. It pops, you know, it's right there in front of you. And because of how the movie is shot, obviously it's a James Cameron film. And you've seen the trailer. It's beautifully, you know, the cinematography is beautiful. And you've just, you got to see it in 3D. But, you know, she said that she could do without the seats. They, it made her feel like she was on an amusement park ride. And she,
I don't think I'm going to do that. I think, but I think I will. I think I will do the 3D when I see it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely worth it. Go check it out. I feel like it's definitely more of an emotional film, but still really fun. I don't know. I think I may have enjoyed the first film more. I'm not sure. I might be on the fence about that. I know I said I enjoyed the first one better on Facebook, but I, you know, maybe it's about even. I don't know. It's hard to beat Avatar. You know, Avatar's a good film. It was, you know, whenever it came out, obviously we know it changed cinema, you know, for the better. You know, way people wanted to shoot their movies and stuff like that. You know, it changed that aspect of it. So go ahead and see it. You know, definitely buy your tickets. See it sooner rather than later, because if you have a Cinemark account, you know, you got to do your visits before the end of the year so you can keep your platinum status and keep your rewards and stuff like that. That's why I hurried up and saw it. I was like, I don't want to keep my platinum status.
I don't think I'm going to make it to platinum though.
Yeah. If you've got to go five times, there ain't no doing that. Man, other than that, I saw a few Christmas movies. I watched Christmas Vacation, went ahead and watched that. And then I watched, what was it? Did I watch Jingle All the Way Again? I think I watched Jingle All the Way Again. And then I watched, of course, everyone's, you know, favorite debate. I watched Die Hard because my son had, you know, never seen it before all the way through. He'd always just sat down and kind of walked away. This time I made him watch it all the way through, my oldest. And he loved it. Thought it was great. You know, thought it was one of the best action films he'd ever seen. So he gave me good answers. You know, I will claim him, after all. he's done two things right. He cried, when he first saw Terminator 2, whenever, Arnold, you know, has the self terminate. And, you know, he says, I now know why you cry, but it is something I can never do. And, he started crying, saying that, you know, Arnold understood, and, you know, he understood John. And that was touching to him. And I was like, man, I was like, you know what?
What a puss. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, if you're going to cry, damn it. That's not bad. You know, that ain't a bad movie to cry to. If you're like, I cry, you know, if you cry in, you know, in the, you know, what is it? Black Beauty or something. I cried watching Black Beauty. I cried watching Terminator 2. All right. I guess you still keep your man card, you know, it was a manly emotional way, but yeah. So I'm gonna have to make sure he watches like Rocky all the way through now, you know, instead of just watching these little clips these kids catch online. Gotta watch Rocky. Asen, take some notes, man.
Well, the first Rocky, I think, is a little harder for a younger kid to watch because it's so slow.
What do you think? Three? Start him off on three. Three moves pretty fast, man. You got three.
Three's a little more fast pace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe
one,
two.
The first one is a slow burn. I mean,
two,
it's good.
It starts off good.
But even I didn't appreciate Rocky as much till I was older because it is a slower burn movie.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff in the street that he, you know, the streets of Philly that he's going through. And it's just funny how they film that. You know, they didn't even cast people. You know, to play the civilians when he's running through the town. And there was a guy I didn't even realize he was in the movie through Rocky and Orange.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good stuff, man. Good stuff. But that's all I caught this week other than playing more Destiny. That's it.
Yeah. I watched a couple things actually this week. Last Saturday, yeah, that was, after y'all left the house and everything, I stayed with Wyatt because he wanted me to, and we watched that movie on Netflix. We watched Troll.
How was it, man?
Norwegian monster movie. It's not bad, but it's generic. I mean, it's a cookie cutter monster flick. You know, you got the scientist and the military and the Wyatt's watching. He's like, Dad, first off, the troll looks like Godzilla or King Kong. And two, he goes, it doesn't do anything. It just smashes stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, Godzilla and King Kong just smash stuff. And Wyatt's, well, yeah, but they do it and it's cool, Dad. I'm like, you're not wrong. It's like, but for a foreign film, the special effects were pretty good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's something to watch for a couple hours, and it was a fun little monster movie. And I think I enjoyed it more just the appreciation that my 7-year-old enjoys himself a good monster movie. You know, I think that's pretty cool that he likes that stuff.
Yeah.
And, so he stayed up and watched it with me, and it's fun. It's worth a quick watch if you're not doing anything else. And then I also watched, I finally got around to watching the Green Lantern Beware of My Power, the DC animated film. I liked it, but it's a little messy story-wise. It's, and we've had a few DC animated films like this where they try to do a whole lot of story in an hour and 20 minutes. This is one of those DC animated films where they try to do a whole lot in an hour and 20 minutes. That's how I felt about Injustice. Like, they tried to do too much in an hour and 20 minutes. It felt really rushed. And that's how this one was. It's like, that's a lot of story to tell in an hour and 20 minutes. But I enjoyed it enough because I, you know, we don't get a whole lot of Green Lantern films. So I thought that was pretty cool to see Jon Stewart and beat Green Lantern. It just like I said, a lot of story, an hour and 20 minutes, but it's pretty good. I mean, you know, it's on HBO Max, so it didn't cost me nothing to watch it. And I'd been wanting to see it. So I finally sat down and watched Green Lantern Beware My Power. I'm trying to think that those are the two main movies I watched this week. And, I still watch my weekly Yellowstone on Sunday night. Tomorrow night's the mid-season finale. And, then it's taking a break till February. So we'll see how that show ends. And,
nice.
But, yeah, that's not a whole lot I watched this week, but but you know, now that baseball season's over, I've been on a roll though. I've been watching one or two movies almost every week. So I've been doing pretty good considering, you know, when it's baseball season, I don't watch as much stuff during the week. You know, I'm watching the Astros or whatever, but I've been doing pretty good lately, though. I think that's like about a month now since the World Series is over. It seems like I've watched a couple movies every week. So,
ain't bad, man. That way you keep your keep that repertoire fresh in your mind.
Yeah, you know? So I'm getting there, and there's some stuff I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm definitely going to watch Knives Out when it hits Netflix next week. You know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
I may not watch it the first night it hits, but I'm definitely going to watch that. And like I said, I'll go see Avatar here and probably after Christmas. I don't know why I didn't get tickets for tomorrow, but now I have too much to do at the house tomorrow, though. I'll go see it after Christmas. That's okay. But let's get into today's featured film. A movie that from one of the greatest trilogies ever made. It's celebrating its 20th anniversary. And, you know, when we originally got around to talking about doing the Lord of the Rings, we were like, how do we want to do this? You know, I've seen podcasts that do all three in a row, you know, and some podcasts have done, you know, split episodes because these movies are so long. And we talked about that one time. We talked about doing all three back to back to back. Then we were going to do them 6 months apart. We did Fellowship about this time last year. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to do the Two Towers in the summer. Then we were going to finish the trilogy, like right now at Christmas. But then as the year went by, it just kind of made sense to keep doing them on their anniversary. And God willing, we're still podcasting next year. We'll finish out the trilogy with The Return of the King. But if I will make this guarantee, if something was to happen and it looks like we're going to end the podcast anytime soon, we will do The Return of the King before we ended the show.
That's right.
And that's not any kind of subtle hint that the show's ending or anything like that. It's just, you know, I'm just thinking, you can't plan ahead. You never know.
Yeah. There's certain movies we have to do before the show.
Yes.
You know, cause part of the journey is the end.
Right.
Like Chris Evans put it in,
Endgame. And you and me have talked about that. We know, like, if we were to decide to ever end the Rebel Radio podcast, that we would come up with a plan and that would be our conclusion. We would come up with 5 or 6 episodes of movies that we haven't done and like, okay, we're going to do these 5 or 6 and that's it in the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm just thinking ahead, but as of right now, about a year from now, we will finish out the trilogy of Return of the King. But for today, we are talking The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. My personal favorite film of the trilogy, just because you know, in the first film, Peter Jackson creates the world of Middle Earth, and it's a glorious world. And in this movie, it just opens up even more to more things. We see how the battle of Sauron is affecting everyone in Middle Earth. And we get to witness that unfold before our eyes in the Two Towers with some remarkable acting in this film. Yeah. I think this might be the best acted part of the trilogy. It's just really well acted.
Oh, yeah.
The incredible music score behind it, some wonderful special effects, and one of the most epic, greatest battles ever put on screen with the Battle of Helm's Deep. And I say that very comfortably because when we get to the Return of the King next year, the one thing that bugs me about the Return of the King is the CGI ghosts are pretty fucking awful. That's probably one of the worst parts of the trilogy in the Return of the King. You have this movie that wins Best Picture, and then you have these CGI ghosts that are just not very good looking. And it takes me out of the movie when I watch the Return of the King. But we're not doing that movie today. We're doing Two Towers. And that's why I like the Battle of Helm's Deep better. So just my little rant there. You know?
More quotable too.
Yes.
And it begins.
Oh,
and let us be the, you know, that's, and then the, of course, the quote from, you know, I guess whenever, maybe Peter Jackson accidentally had to share a bathroom with someone, he's like, let us cross swords one last time. Or, like, yes, I use this in the restroom. I had to share it with a friend. We drew swords at the same time. It was great. We rode out together.
We normally summarize it, but there's no need to summarize this film. Yeah. Everyone knows it's the middle part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
It's a film that needs no introduction.
And what I love about this movie is the journey of the characters through this movie. We watch Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli and Merry and Pippin and Frodo and Sam and the Fellowship all grow so much throughout this film. So, and I think that's the amazing feat that Peter Jackson's able to pull off in this film with everything going on around it. You're able to go on this journey with these characters and none of the characters feel like they're left out. You know, you feel like you're on this journey with all these people and it's amazingly done. And I didn't even mention Gandalf and his journey. And I was, when I rewatched this week and we watched the extended version, which is, it says 3 hours and 55 minutes, but it's really about 3.5 because there's almost 25 minutes of credits. Yeah. And, we watched the extended version. The extended version of this film, it's like this should have been the version that was shown in theaters. Like Fellowship, you could argue that you didn't need the extended stuff. You know,
yeah.
Fellowship works on its own, even theatrical. But the Two Towers extended edition is so much better. There's a lot of re-edits in this movie. It's probably the most change of the three. There's so much things that are different in this. A lot of re-edits, a lot of cuts, lots of new dialogue, lots more information, a lot more background on why Faramir was hated by his father with that whole cut scene with the Boromir in it. And lots of just little things like that. We see a scene that seems so not important at the time when they're sitting there on their journey, the people rode on to Helm's Deep and Eowyn makes the soup for Aragorn and he pretends like he likes it, even though he doesn't. And this scene wasn't in the theatrical version. But it's like in that moment, you almost see in Aragorn's face that he realizes like who he's starting to realize who he is and his, and that his fate is catching up to him and that he has to be a leader, you know, and just little moments like that. I really like in this movie, lots of great little moments between Frodo and Sam. And we see Sam, you know, his journey be really rude to Gollum and Frodo ask him why. And we start, by the time we get to the end of the movie, we realize why Sam is doing it. It's because he loves his friends so much and that he, you know, doesn't, you know, they shouldn't even be here, you know, but yet he's going to do whatever it takes to do his part in the great stories that he's heard over the years. And just little moments like that, I think, is what makes the Two Towers such an amazing film. And on top of that, incredible special effects, the Ents, the living trees, it's remarkable, you know, just things like that are so well done. And I know I'm talking and going on and on and I saw this movie two or three times in theaters, man. When this trilogy hit, man, I had never read the books. I had nothing, you know, to, uh, to go by, but the movies look great. I saw Fellowship like 4 times in theaters. I saw Two Towers 2 or 3 times. And strangely, Return of the King I only saw once in theaters, or maybe twice. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I became a big fan of these movies, and I still like them a lot. And this one is just so good. But there's more to say about it. I want your thoughts, man.
Yeah. Saw it in theaters. I remember it always seemed to come out like Christmas Eve after.
Yeah, they were always Christmas movies.
Yeah. And, you know, we would open presents, and then me and my cousin would try and catch the earliest showing that we could find. And of course, everything would always be packed. And that was when you had to scramble for seats that were close together. So, I mean, it was fun. Just, you know, rushing to that and seeing those movies play out on screen. Obviously great films, won 2 Oscars. You know, there's no question, their significance. But you know, it's a movie that, you know, it didn't follow, you know, the book. So you had some people that were upset at the book, you know, like you said, we shouldn't even be there. That's the line from Frodo, and whenever he and Sam crossed through Oxalarth, and they don't even cross through there in the book. So it's a nod to that. So they acknowledge it, but it's just great storytelling, great cinematography. And, you know, J.R. Tolkien's son signed off on it. So, you know, if you're one of those Lord of the Rings fans, just enjoy what you're getting, you know, what you got. I'm sure there's obviously a lot to be proud of in this film. It's highly entertaining. It's epic as hell. There's epic quotes all throughout the film. And then just, you know, so much cool stuff. You know, you've got like friggin' 10 memes out of the dialogue from this film. Looks like meat's back on the table, boys. You know, it's like maybe you're maybe your hands would find their strength if they grasped their sword one last time. I think people insert random shit and kind of make a meme of their own with different stuff. But man, it's a movie that it has crossed generations, even though it came out in the early 2000s. And here we are, you know, almost 20 years later. And, you know, people are still talking Lord of the Rings, still enjoying Lord of the Rings, making t-shirts, you know, and it's still out there. And, you know, it's gonna be here longer than us. It was here long before us. It's gonna be here long after us. Just one of those films. And you know, I've got to agree, the acting's great. Even Ebert, who you know, can be critical at times, just love the acting from this film. You know, just the Battle of Helm's Deep is got to be the best battle in the entire series of films. It lasts long. It took long to film. Obviously, they even handed out t-shirts saying, wow, I survived Helm's Deep. You know, I think it was what, 20, a whole day was worth of footage, right?
Like 20 hours. Something hours of footage that filmed over 3 months. Yeah.
So, you know, they put a lot of effort into this film, and it shows, you know, the fruits of that labor have, you know, paid dividends over and over and over again. And they'll continue to do so. And, you know, you've got, you know, with the special editions, I think that's the only version you can watch. That's the one we're talking about today. You find out about Aragorn's origin as a line of men who's got, you know, abnormally long life. You find out that he's actually served in battle with Théoden. So, which I think makes you look at their dialogue a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You feel like Théoden doesn't care that they fought in battle, and Aragorn's kind of like, come on, man, we fought together, you know, we drew our swords together, you know, and then he's just like, Gondor, God, elves. And so, you know, he's kind of bitter.
Right. But he's also not aware that Aragorn is the heir to Gondor though, either. I don't think so.
I don't think he's aware until Return of the King.
All right.
Now, maybe something in the book says different. I don't know, because actually on the books, I've only read The Hobbit and the first book. I've read The Fellowship. I haven't read Two Towers or Return of the King. I've just read two of those four. and the Silmarillion. But anywho, it makes you look at that relationship a little bit different. And you know, for a minute, I thought Aragorn, I know you said that he was kind of discovering himself. I almost thought like maybe he was thinking about how life would be without Arwen. He was actually cozying up to the idea of becoming, you know, the future king of Rohan, maybe, and marrying Theoden's daughter. But you know, Arwen's Arwen, man.
Arwen,
yeah. Arwen. Arwen's Arwen. You know, so you can't pass her up, and he doesn't. He remembers the bond that he made, and he's like, you know what, damn it, I'm not going to simp over some horseman's daughter. You know, I'm gonna stick to my guns, and I'm gonna wear this the star around my neck with pride, and I'm gonna die as one of them if I have to. I like that quote. You know, him and Legolas going back and forth, and he's like, Legolas is like, we're all gonna fucking die, and he's like, well then I'm gonna die with them. You know what? Screw you. I'm going out, you know, in a blaze of gunfire or sword slashing, you know? So Aragorn's badass. Viggo Mortensen, he just solidifies himself as this badass actor. And, you know, we get solid performances and great performances from everyone around. And Mark, you're absolutely right. Merry and Pippin, they friggin' take over Isengard, you know, by making Treebeard go the wrong way. And being tricky hobbits, the closer we are to danger, the farther away we are from harm, which I think sometimes, you know, that can be true. You know, sometimes the closer you are to danger, you know, it works out for you, you know, and people farther away from it, you know, you don't know how they got affected and you didn't, but they make it happen. And we get a continuance of that in the beginning of Lord of the Rings. Now you've got me rambling. I'm
no, you're good.
Going off. But this is just one of those films you can literally talk about so much you know, from this film. It gives you so much, and that's because so much was put into it, and from all sides, writing, directing, acting, everyone brought it.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the way I felt over the years. You know, you said you have these hardcore Tolkien fans that complain about the change from the book, but I mean, there's no doubt that Peter Jackson and the cast and crew and the actors put all of their heart into this to make the best films that they could. And, you know, and some of that stuff that's done in the books, from what I've read, it just didn't translate well. That necessary changes had to be made. And, you know, I'm fine with it, 'cause I think it works so well. I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable movie. You know, we haven't even talked about Gollum yet. You know, we get just a brief little appearance from Gollum in the Fellowship of the Ring, as he's mostly in the shadows. And now in this one, we get this full motion capture performance by the great Andy Serkis, who is on screen in a motion capture suit, or on set, I should say, filming with the other actors that they had a pinpoint. They use CGI to put Gollum in there and Andy's voice. And it's one of the great motion capture performances that has ever been caught on screen. And of course it would lead to Andy playing Caesar in the Planet of the Apes films. And he's just one of those great motion capture actors. And he's going on to have quite a good career as a face actor too.
Yeah.
And he brings Smeagol to life in a way that, watching this week, I actually thought the CGI still holds up very well 20 years later. It still looks really good on screen. He's a truly creepy, weird character.
Slimy
that, test the will of Sam and Frodo, and even Faramir feels threatened by him and wants to just kill him right away until Frodo convinces him that, you know, we need him. Of course we get to the end of the film and we know that, Smeagol has other plans, for a scene that was originally in the second book, but they moved it to the third movie just because it made sense. But that's to say, for the third movie, as Smeagol tries to use his plan to get the ring back by having Sam and Frodo killed by a giant creepy spider. Mm-hmm. And we see Smeagol planning that at the end of this one. But Andy Serkis, man, he truly brings that character to life.
He does, man. And he even went so far as to, you know, have a fish-shaped lollipop so that they could CGI over the fish and make it look real whenever he's eating the fish. I thought that was pretty hilarious. He's just flopping around this fish shaped lollipop in his mouth. Right. I can just imagine him like crawling over everything, doing his voice. I'm like, how do you not laugh? You know,
right.
Adam, whenever you, there's probably tons of laughs that happen behind scenes, that's something that I think about whenever we bring up that he was in that motion capture suit, and it's like, man, how did that look? You know, it'd be funny to be a fly on the wall watching him acting out those scenes in front of cast. And then I know, I had some note over here, it's slipping. The orc, Andy also did the orc, scene whenever the three orcs are fighting amongst themselves in camp. And I didn't realize that. I thought it was from the people actually playing the orcs. So that part in the camp, at Fangorn, at the Fangorn camp scenes, whenever they say, meat's back on the menu, boys.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also been a lot of people think that they, Peter Jackson, there is a lot of CGI in these films for the massive battle scenes, but they also hired lots of extras, you know, almost 1,000 extras to put in suits and turn into Uruk-hai. They asked for people that were 6 foot higher. They couldn't find enough, so they had to hire some. They called them Uruk-lows.
Yeah.
They were 6 feet. Hire quite a few extras for those scenes to give it a sense of realism. And I remember watching a supplement where what they did was they would take the real actors they filmed, and they would almost copy them on screen and move. It was almost like doing Photoshop work, and they would put those 1,000 actors behind the other 1,000 actors, and they have a program where they can make them move differently. So it would turn this battlefield into tens of thousands of people just by basically copy and pasting the real actors into other scenes and just changing their movements. And just incredible CGI work done by Weta Digital did these effects to give you these massive, massive battle scenes and make them look as real as possible.
Yeah, no, they, man, yeah, just, and I remember that's the only reason why these films even got made in the first place is because the advancements with CGI, being able to clone those like waves and waves of people, is what led to these films being greenlit. But man, I mean, and obviously successful. I mean, I always like to mention how much it made, worldwide, like 900, I think it's like 974 million worldwide. Yeah. I mean, the first day, I think at the box office, weekend, I think, it made over, more than its budget back. 94 million. I want to say over the course of the first weekend, it made that back and then some. So obviously super, super successful.
Well, and that's another amazing thing. Peter Jackson convinced New Line Cinema to make this because he said he could do it on a budget people thought wasn't possible. Cause there was a lot of talk that these books were unfilmable, that they would cost, millions each to make. But Peter Jackson came in and was basically like, I can do all three of these for about $100 million each. And he did, for the most part, pulled off those I think one of them had $125 million budget, but for the most part, he was able to do that because he was a master at using techniques to save budgets. And he also, a lot of this was filmed, in New Zealand. It was all filmed in New Zealand. So they used real lands. They built a lot of sets. So that saved a lot of money on CGI work and things like that. A lot of these sets still stand today for people to go visit. We did Avatar last week, and these were the movies that made James Cameron convince himself that he could make Avatar. Is when he saw Lord of the Rings films. He's like, okay, technology is finally getting there.
Yeah.
And so it definitely changed how things were made. Peter Jackson and Weta Digital created new ways to save on CGI by doing these new programs to make these massive battles. So they were able to come in on the budgets they wanted to. And obviously the whole trilogy was highly successful. One of the most successful of all time. The movies have more than profited, winning lots and lots of awards. I texted you, I think the reason this might be my favorite movie is just that speech that Sam gives towards the end of the film about we're going to be one of those people they talk about in stories. And it's just a remarkable speech. I'm not sure if it's in the book. Maybe it is. Maybe it was something that was written for the film. But that speech just solidifies what the whole trilogy is about in a lot of ways.
The fellowship, you know, for the fellowship. You know, and I know we talked about great performances and, you know, I forgot to mention this earlier is the injuries, they sustained, you know, Viggo Mortensen, whenever he kicks the helmet after he thinks the hobbits have died right before he goes to track them, when he screams out in anger, that's not anger. That's pain. He broke two of his toes kicking that helmet. You know, I guess he forgot to wear his steel toes that day, but he carried on and, you know, later let Peter Jackson know what had happened. And he kept that shot in because it was like, oh, this is great. What did you do to prepare? He's like, well, you know, I broke my toes. I just shattered them, you know, to get that kind of reaction. You know, that's how dedicated I am. And then Legolas, I want to say Orlando Bloom fell off his horse and cracked like two ribs or broke two ribs, one of the two. And then Gimli, the actor who played Gimli.
John Rhys Davies.
Yeah. I think he hurt his knee or he sprained his knee.
Yeah.
Sprained his ankle. So they're like hobbling around like three misfit musketeers trying to get it done.
And, also.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I also really enjoy the banter in this film, like where Legolas and Gimli are counting how many they kill, making jokes about tossing dwarves, you know, and he goes, okay, toss me. Cause it, to me, it gives a sense that as serious as this world is, there's still humor in Middle Earth and they still have fun with their fights and their battles. And I kind of like those humanizing lines of dialogue in these films. You know, I think they work well. Yeah. And I like, we didn't even talk about Ian McKellen, his performance as Gandalf, you know, that, he comes back as, hey, you know, we think he fell to his doom in the Fellowship of the Ring. And we find out early on in this film, though, that he was able to fight off the Balrog and survive. And then we just don't know how he's going to come back. And he comes back as Gandalf the White and, becomes a huge hero in this movie, of course. Oh, yeah. And, be able to have an even bigger part to play in the next part of the trilogy.
He's what the kids call OP. Overpowered. He's stronger than Saruman, man. He blasts Saruman back and he ain't even the same zip code as Saruman.
Oh man. And then Christopher Lee, how lucky are we to have gotten Christopher Lee in these films? I mean, you know, to play the great the wizard Saruman. And, he's awesome. Brad Dourif playing the evil Grima Wormtongue, whose English accent was so convincing that when Bernard Hill found out he wasn't English, he thought he was bullshitting him. He's like, no way, you're playing in English. You're playing an American accent now, right? And Brad Dourif's like, no, I'm American. You know? And he thought he was playing a trick on him.
Man, I thought, you know, most of those guys are British, man.
Right. That's funny. Well, and the thing is, like, Brad Dourif apparently stayed in character or stayed with his English accent when they weren't filming, so people thought he was English. And then whenever they were done filming and he spoke American, Bernard Hill was like, no way.
Like, no way, man.
So that was pretty cool. Man, just an amazing film. I like this movie a lot. It's my favorite part of the trilogy, I think, because it's the middle chapter and it just – changes the world so much in Middle Earth and opens things up, preparing us for the final conclusion and the return of the king. And just a good film. I mean, it's obviously an A+. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is a great, great movie.
No, it's obviously a testament, you know, a testament to Peter Jackson and just what, you know, his body of work. And, you know, it was awesome that we got to see this film, you know, based off of those books by J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, just brought to the big screen in the way that they were. And, you know, we talk about, you know, cinema changing movies, you know, with Avatar, this was a cinema changing movie. I want to say some more sword epics came after this. I think City of God came after this. Kingdom of Heaven. Yeah. And probably some others that I'm not sure. Can't remember. But this one was the, you know, Kingdom of Heaven was the one that I really remembered. Came on after this. What more is there to say about this movie? Yeah, you know, if you haven't seen this one, I don't know where you've been, but watch it, man. Watch this trilogy.
If you haven't seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy in the last 20 years, you're sitting on a rock.
Yeah. And my wife was one of those people until last year. I had to have her watch all three. I was like, how did you live this long without watching at least one of these films? But yeah, they're all free free with your subscription to HBO Max.
They're on Amazon Prime also.
And on Amazon Prime. So, you know, there you go. Plenty of options out there.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Can't wait. Can't wait to finish it next year with Return of the King. Let's do some This Month in Pop Culture History, since it is the middle of December, almost Christmas, and what happened this month in history and pop culture?
Yeah. So, you know, we had just gotten this Marilyn Monroe movie out. So how better than to bring up that in 1953, Hugh Hefner published the first edition of Playboy magazine, which featured Marilyn Monroe as the magazine's first centerfold. Pretty strong outing.
Yeah. I am no desire to watch that movie on Netflix. I mean, I thought about Fast Forward to see, and whatever her name is, you know, naked, but other than that, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. You just watch Dark Water for that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple other ways you can watch her without having to watch that thing. So
or
she's not shy.
Yeah, she is.
There's some movie she's got with Ben Affleck, I think, too, where she's shows her goods.
That's Dark Water.
Oh, is that Dark Water?
She was also in that movie Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves.
No.
Yeah, where they tie him up and do things to him. I don't know why they think that's scary. Oh, Ana de Armas is coming on to me. Oh,
right.
Spooky. Anywho, this one's for Long. I couldn't believe I was like, I saw this fact and I was like, I'm putting this in here for Long. Hopefully he's listening. 1988, the Naked Gun movie based off of TV's Police Squad premieres. I mean, that's right up Long's alley. Come on, Long.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was something, I don't know. I came across something the other day, an article that mentioned Leslie Nielsen. Maybe it was just something random and I saw some headline. I don't even remember what it was now, but, you know, hey, I mean, it was a fun movie. You know,
I haven't done a whole lot of birthdays, lately. So I made sure to find some notable birthdays and some of the ones I found, Frank Sinatra, Bob Barker, Jennifer Connelly, Kristen Ritter, and the great Walt Disney all have birthdays this month.
Yeah, Bob Barker just turned 99.
Yep. I saw him, a contestant wanted him to say his line from Happy Gilmore.
And Kristen Ritter, we got to meet at Comp-Palooza a couple years ago and have our photo taken with her. That's cool.
Yep.
And, I hope that if the MCU brings back any more street characters, I hope they bring back her as Jessica Jones, because she was good in that role.
I think some characters are well cast, and Kristen Ritter was one of them, obviously. And, hopefully if we get anything, we get her. 1979, Star Trek, another long one. Motion picture, the first movie, premieres and, directed by Robert Wise, starring William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy. Good film. Obviously, greenlit.
Is it though?
It was solid.
It's okay. It's kind of boring.
If you watch any of the Star Trek films, you want to watch the odd number. You want to watch 1, 3, 5.
What? Who? No one ever says that. 2, 4, and 6 are better. Wrath of Khan is part 2, man.
Oh, maybe I have it backwards. It's the even numbers that are better.
Yeah, the even numbers are better. But I do like 3. Because it ties into 2, but it's not as good as 2, but I still like 3. But 1, man, I mean, I don't know. They felt like the, you know, you come off the very popular TV show, and they felt the audiences wanted serious sci-fi, like in the vein of 2001: A Space Odyssey, and it just didn't translate well with Star Trek. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a fun Star Trek movie, and I think that's the problem with the motion picture.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once or twice over the years because it's just kind of hard to watch. I think I watched it once years ago. Then when they did the remastered version a few years ago with the updated special effects, I watched it again. I'm just like, it's pretty boring.
Yeah. I got a couple more movies that came out this month. Thunderball came out this month, was released in, it was technically the Japan release. But Thunderball, the fourth installment of Ian Fleming's 007. I'm probably a bigger fan of this, of that movie than anyone on the show. But man, it's such an elaborate storyline. And it was one of the most complicated books. It's probably why it didn't do too hot. But still got some cool stuff with the underwater fighting and of course the scene that, gave the Austin Powers ammunition for the, that's not a woman. That's a man, baby. Stanley Kubrick, 1971, X-rated film, A Clockwork Orange, based on the book by Anthony Burgess and starring Malcolm McDowell, premieres. Oof.
I don't know. I've seen parts of it. It's a weird movie.
It is a fucked up film. I know. Sorry. We, you know, some movies are messed up. But this one is effed up.
Yeah.
They're raping people for fun. He's pretending to be a gentleman. There's like, you know, there's a lot of weird shit in there.
Most of Kubrick's films aren't, really accessible to the masses. I mean, Full Metal Jacket might be the only one.
Yeah, probably.
But most of his movies are just like, I don't know. Not a fan. Never been a big fan of his. Like 2001: Space Odyssey, those are just weird science fiction movies.
Yeah.
He's a bit bizarre director.
I know we celebrated birthdays, but, we also, somberly remember those that we lost in December. And I know I've mentioned Walt Disney. He had a birthday this month. He also died in the same month. So not long after he celebrated his last birthday, he passed away in December. I will say, I know it's sports, but you know what? He's in video games too. And that's John Madden. John Madden passed away, last year this month.
No, I was saying it was about a year ago.
Yeah. So rip to the great John Madden. Also last year we lost Betty White. I know we're all cheering to see how long, she would last. So rip Betty White. Paul Walker, he was right on the cusp of, I felt like I had to include him because it was November 30th. The next day was December 1st. I didn't include him last month, which I absolutely would have. That was heartbreaking. And of course, the greatest loss that I feel like, we've lost in the past few years, Carrie Fisher passed away in December of 2016. Rip to the princess. Obviously her work speaks for itself. We've talked a lot about her on the show.
That reminds me, I was watching James Hong Bob Strike Back the other day.
Yeah.
And I didn't include in my download this because I always include my old movies, but I always laugh at that scene at the beginning where she's in it and Jane's like, oh, you follow the book too? She's like, I live my whole life by the book. And he puts his head down there and her laugh and she's worried about the car. It was absolutely
hilarious. Remember, George Carlin's talking, it tells him about the book.
Yeah.
and then he may run into her. Oh, man.
The book of the road. Funny.
Yeah, man. She had some cameos in a couple of those films. We talked about Austin Powers. She was in the second Austin Powers as the therapist. Oh,
yeah. That's right.
Just good stuff. Real funny. So that's this month in television history.
Pop culture.
Pop culture history.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, well, let's get to the news, man. What is going on at Warner Brothers in DC? Okay, so Henry Cavill's out. No longer Superman. Apparently, Gal Gadot might be out too as Wonder Woman, even though it's not confirmed yet. Patty Jenkins, though, is definitely out of as on Wonder Woman 3, and she released a statement saying that she never quit the project, that she's basically been moved aside. I guess the only good news out of that is that her Rogue One, her Rogue Squadron movie is not dead yet. She is, they are still developing at Lucasfilm. Now, she did kind of confirm that it's not guaranteed it's going to get made, but it's still in development. James Gunn apparently is writing a new Superman movie about a young Superman. And as they plan out this next 8 to 10 years of the DC Universe, there were rumors that Pattinson's Batman was going to be included in the DCU, which James Gunn nixed that, said Matt Reeves' universe is his own thing. I know the adage is to be patient, see what Gunn and them have planned, but at the same time, it looks like a big mess, and fans aren't happy. They're not happy that Cavill's been pushed to the side. You know, rumor is that he quit The Witcher because he'll come back as Superman, but that's also rumor. There's also word that he wasn't really a big fan of the
it's the writing.
Fighting, the harsh winter shoots in the snow and all the makeup and stuff, and just the long shoots. You know, Cavill seems like he liked doing films more where he works for 30 days. It doesn't seem like he was a big fan of, you know, 3-4 month shoots doing a TV show. So there's a lot more to that story too. But you know, here's my thing about James Gunn. I've enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Don't get me wrong. I thought Suicide Squad was okay, but I don't feel he has enough track record, me personally, to trust in what he's doing. And I think that's what the fans are looking for, some trust behind this, because now we have 3 movies coming out this in 23 with Shazam, Aquaman, and The Flash that feel like, are there's any point to them if they end up rebooting this whole thing? Now, to be fair, none of them haven't said they're rebooting everything, but when all of a sudden you announce that Cavill's not your Superman, it certainly feels like you're rebooting everything. And I'm trying to hold out hope, and it's because I really like the DC Universe a lot. I enjoy what we get from Marvel, but I've always been a DC guy. Batman's my favorite superhero. I really enjoy the anthology of Superman and who he is, and just some great science fiction characters like The Flash and Green Lantern, a lot of great characters in DC. So I want to see this universe succeed, but I also feel like you could have saved what was there. I don't feel a reboot's necessary. And that's where I stand on it. I'm trying to hold out hope and faith, and maybe a few years from now, I'll look back on this and think, okay, we got what we wanted, but it feels like a mess right now.
Yeah, we're supposed to get Cavill versus Black Adam, man.
Right. I mean, they had him cameo at the end of Black Adam, announced on his Instagram that he was back, and now a couple months later, he's like, sorry, guys, I'm not playing Superman. I got shafted.
Feel like I think I saw where, you know, some people are speculating that it's a power struggle right now between The Rock and James Gunn.
I saw that too, and The Rock was pretty furious about that being reported. Yeah. He was not happy because he said, no, me and Gunn aren't fighting. This is ridiculous. You know. But I can feel how The Rock feels upset too, because basically they're basically kicking him out too. Like, you know, Black Adam, no more Black Adam.
Man, it's nuts, man. And Black Adam did decent, you know. Everyone liked the Justice Society. Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate was great casting. I think they casted you know, Hawkman really well. And you know, I don't think The Rock was bad as Black Adam. You know, maybe it was a little cheesy, his you know, one-liner stuff. But you know,
it was fine.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
But I'm less upset about The Rock not playing Black Adam than Cavill, because Cavill, you know, he did Man of Steel. He was kind of, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he didn't get a chance to fully bring the role full circle, you know, with only a few appearances. And he truly loved being Superman. If you look out there on the internet, all the pictures he took with kids and playing Superman and visiting the hospitals and things like that, he really embraced the role of being a hero. And he won't get to do it anymore, unfortunately, unless things change again. Because there is already an internet campaign about bring back Cavill. So
we'll see, man. People have listened before. You know, that's how we got Sonic to look the way we wanted him to look.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah. God of War, the very popular video game series, has been ordered a series on Amazon Prime.
That's going to be fun.
So we you know, it feels like, you know, Amazon sitting there watching HBO coming out with their Last of Us, like, hey, we need a big video game TV series. You know, and it feels too like maybe the studios are getting it right. Video games are 8 to 10 hours of playtime with epic stories. They're not always designed for a 2-hour movie. You know, so maybe TV shows are the way to go with these things where you can flesh out the story and tell them the right way.
Yeah.
And
space it out.
If The Last of Us is very successful and God of War is very successful, might start seeing more video games turned into TV shows. The very popular My Hero Academia live action film has been bought by Netflix, and that will be coming to Netflix. That's really all that's been announced. It's just Netflix bought the rights for it, so we'll see how it turns out. And lastly in the news, we got our first look this week at the brand new trailer for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It was quite a good trailer, man. The first movie is a blast, and I think we'll cover it this summer before the new one comes out. Looking forward to Across the Spider-Verse. Really good trailer. Lots of quick shots in there. Lots of Spider-Man appearing. You got to really watch the trailer to catch them all. Looks like some new animation techniques in it, and definitely looking forward to that. High on my list of 2023 to see. Mm-hmm. And that's all the news, man. So next week we are going to do our year-ending episode where we will we have our annual Batman movie, which I'm going to introduce here in just a second. We will also discuss our favorite movies of the year and some pop culture moments. Our usual year-ending show next week on the show.
Yeah.
But the final movie of 2022 will be The Dark Knight Rises.
You are as precious to me as you were to your own mother and father. I swore to them that I would protect you, and I haven't.
The mayor's gonna dump him in the spring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he's a hero.
A war hero. This is peacetime.
You think this can last? There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. You and your friends better batten down the hatches. Because when it hits, you're all going to wonder how you ever thought you could live so large and leave so little for the rest of us.
What does that mean?
Rise.
Gotham is ashes. You have my permission to die.
So we've already covered Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. So it's time to finish that trilogy out with The Dark Knight Rises this year. It was also the 10th anniversary of that film this year, back this past summer. So as we get Tom Hardy's Bane as the villain, along with Anne Hathaway's version of Catwoman, and a good movie. Some people say it's not as good as The Dark Knight, but I don't know, man. I think it's right up there. A pretty solid fucking Batman film and a good way to end the trilogy. So looking forward to talking that next week, along with, like I said, our year-ending conclusion for 2022 on next week's show.
Another movie with cool quotes.
You think darkness is your ally.
That's what it matches with his main voice.
Yes.
we started that tradition kind of by, I don't know if we did it on purpose, doing a Batman movie at Christmas about 4 years ago, and we've done it ever since. I think last Christmas our Batman movie was Batman Begins, and people think, oh, you're gonna run out of Batman movies. And there's plenty of animated films we haven't done. I was looking, we got a solid 6-7 years more Batman movies that we can do. So we're good. We'll make it. But that's next week's show, The Dark Knight Rises. And until then, continue to be safe. TheRebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And, of course, we're on all the apps to listen to the show, so it's easy to find us. And we thank you, as always, for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.